The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime, and it's a full crew. Today, we have Acer Rahman joining us shortly, but Dubs is here, JC's here, Jimmy's here, Wong is here, Florence Nightingale's here. How you doing, everyone? Now, that's in reference to a comment Jimmy made to Craig. Craig's wearing a beautiful, actually, Switzerland.
Yeah.
World Cup shirt right now. It looks great. And Jimmy mentioned, Why are you going? Why are you doing first aid? Which you all found very amusing. And of course, Florence Nightingale is a patron saint of? You guys know?
Bowling.
Bowling. Yes. And nursing.
But only five-pin bowling.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that the only kind of bowling?
It really is. Special.
The Swiss national team sent me a jersey. Can't get one from Canada, but these guys are on it.
Was actually,
well, if we just swap your Italian jersey, you'd be okay.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a neutral
fan.
Word,
that's right.
We had some reaction, by the way, in that last show regarding the jersey swap. We had a good reaction to that, both good and bad. But it's done now. Thing of the past. But I still support it fully. What are you laughing at?
Me?
Yeah.
I just because I was thinking about some repartee that Dubs was having with our buddy Tony in Hamilton.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and Hamilton, there was there was a line about getting over it. And I was mulling over when someone says, you know, you just get over it. And I'm wondering, is it the response that you're supposed to get over? Like your feelings? Are you supposed to get over? Like what part are you supposed to get over? The actual indignation of it all, the being hurt by it, the question of getting over it. Like, should you, you know, so I was,
the emotional component, surely.
Yeah, the emotional. So what are you supposed to be getting over? And that is what made me laugh, because there's like about getting over it. It's like when you say to somebody, why don't you just calm down or relax? Why don't you relax?
Yeah.
The worst thing to say. No one's ever relaxed.
I said that to my dad once. So was the end of that.
You said relax to your dad?
Yeah. Dad, you need to relax.
It's not a good thing to say. But I will say, though, if I'm picking that apart a little bit, which I tend to do, the semantics of it, get over it is a little bit different than get over yourselves. Do you think?
Yes. Yes.
Which I don't know.
That's the phrase that I used, and that's what Tony found a little bit hypocritical coming from me, and he compared it to when my outrage or fake outrage about people putting their own names on kits. And then my very glib reply was, well, getting over yourself is actually not putting your name on a jersey, because you're getting over your own surname and you're putting somebody else's name on it. So he's like, it's not about that at all. And I think a lot of people felt like I was a little bit too, dismissive of actually at its core what Canada Soccer, with the swap and that word, asking Italian fans to do, which was trade, you know, their adherence and their passion and their heritage for the Canadian one. And I didn't see it like that at all, but I'm not coming at it from that angle.
Well, I think your explanation. Italian. Yeah. Sorry, Sharms. No, I was going to say to Dubs, is your explanation, I'd like to say to you, get over yourself, Dubs.
Fair.
It's really also
I can be a little too self-aware. It's true.
It's the intonation too, right? What you're focusing on. Get over yourselves. Mm-hmm. You know? If you focus on the over, it's like, piss off. Then we're going to fight. Mm. Are you and Tony okay now?
Oh, yeah. I think me and Tony are always okay. It's the question is, are you and Tony okay?
That's a good question.
He usually has it out for you. And I have to tell him to simmer down now.
No. Simmer. You have my back this week. Thank you, by the way.
Simmer. Yeah, no problem.
Now, me and the T-bone, as I call him.
We're cool. When we see each other in person, we go and just fine. But the T-bone holds me to account, and I'm fine with that.
Love that.
Something else related to bone, and listeners will be surprised. I'm not taking it in that direction. is you were right about the callus on the bone, and we had a couple of people who weighed in.
Mm-hmm.
So good on you. I was wrong. Yes. Well done.
I did really enjoy that. Jimmy was also correct. It is also known as a calamari. I thoroughly enjoyed that. So you
were also correct because they are dyeing t-shirts, Canada at Gerrard Square.
Yeah, exactly. T-shirts. No, you know what they were? I spent a sock Canada. They were the legit $230 shirts, by the way.
Hmm.
Yeah. And they gave out 103 of them, I believe. And the initial thought was, let's just give them away. But the concern was, if they said, hey, free shirts, there'd be just, you know, such demand. There'd be a lineup roll the way to Hamilton and Tony, right? Ooh. So that's the reason they kind of flipped the script, so to speak. But anyway, and enough on that. It is, I really enjoyed our podcast on, well, we shot two podcasts on Tuesday in person at SiriusXM. That was a lot of fun in person. Hope everyone enjoyed. For social media, it was brilliant, the clips we could use, because it looks great. It's professional. Now we're back at our virtual environment. But people did, they were concerned where Wonga was. It was just voice of Wonga appearing out of nowhere, which I found really amusing as well.
There's also, it was insightful also that Dubs brought it up, was that people, when we do our Brady Bunch squares, like we're doing right now, Hollywood squares, that people like to see our reaction to our stupid takes, our funny takes, our any of the ridiculous off takes too. And they miss that too on our YouTube. I mean, it's obviously you don't, it's not on our podcast because our podcast is in full, whereas our YouTube are just excerpts. But it's interesting how people, because they first started watching us a certain way, anytime you change a little thing, It affects how people react to you, right? It is really interesting. And maybe we have to do this Hollywood squares at the same time. We figure out another way to do single shots. Get it. Maybe we need a full production studio.
That would be an idea, like a real TV show.
Yeah.
For the interweb. Mm-hmm. We're working on it. We're working on it. But I like the voice of Wonga and not seeing Wonga. It'd actually be a really cool movie. I was thinking about this. If, you know, regular dude like myself just going about his day by day, but he's got this voice of Wonga in his head that leads into all these important, you know, choices in life, career, relationships. The voice of Wonga. But by the end of the movie, I'm running down the street naked with an AK-47 strapped to myself. Wonga, the voice of Wonga had changed, had switched to the evil voice of Wonga.
I like that. There is kind of a movie like that with comedy legend Will Ferrell called Stranger Than Fiction and Emma Thompson, just so you know.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, shall we hear from Craig or Jimmy?
they're also here. Everyone. Before we do, though, I was going to say some people have a lovely voice.
I'm going to go get a coffee.
Yeah. It's a voice of wonder, and some people have a voice of wonger.
Very different things, I think.
Yes.
Do it now.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Forrest.
Hey, Jimmy. Hello. What's happening everybody. In Jimmy's life?
Who was that?
Family was living a beautiful, quiet life.
I'm turning my phone off. It was.
Oh, it's you.
Anyways, apologies.
The voice of Wonga's phone. Another movie. Yes. Great one. It's a sequel. The voice of Wonga's phone.
It's Wonga's voice on Dave.
Hockey. Before your first coffee, while the rest of the city's still hitting snooze, we're breaking down everything that happened last
Circle
night.
Center, score!
The biggest moments, the key storyline, and the takes that actually matter.
Back for Kudrow, score!
Wake up and get your hockey fix. Fast, smart, and ready for your day with voices who live the game. Morning Hockey starts here. Weekday mornings on SiriusXM Morning Skate. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Click to SiriusXM.ca/MorningSkate.
Yeah, Jimmy. So, yeah, what's up with that soccer?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not watching your movie if it ends with you running naked with an AK-47.
Well, no, the gun covers me up mid-drift. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's the ass.
Doesn't cover enough.
Lack of ass.
I will have you know that a certain Dubs cupped my ass at the SiriusXM studios.
It's true.
And there wasn't nothing there.
Mm-hmm. It's cuppable. It's slight cuppable. Cup. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More than a handful is a waste, as they say.
I think we should take you to Brazil.
Get butt implant.
Yeah, just get you a nice.
Just one.
That would be amazing.
just one side.
Just one cheek.
Please.
That's all we can afford.
He's turning the circle.
Can afford two.
We got to go twice.
Sit upright. I can't. This is off the rails Friday, apparently. Where's Acer to save the day? Jesus Christ. Now, Jimmy, what are you looking forward to this weekend, football-wise?
Football-wise, all the games, really. I enjoyed it, especially last weekend. I enjoyed watching TFC. I enjoyed watching the Whitecaps game. It was some good football. And then just getting back into it, the Premier League and all the rest of the leagues. That's my weekend. I love just floating around watching the Premier League in the morning, watching MLS in the evenings, and it's my jam.
TFC this weekend?
Yes, I'll be at TFC match, and then I'm going to be at the TFC 2 game on Sunday.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. That'd be more in
Cincinnati, isn't it?
What's that?
Is it Cincinnati this weekend?
Yeah, first team have Cincinnati, and then the second team play Crown Legacy, which is Charlotte's second team.
Oh, Crown Legacy. Name.
What a great name. Why are they called that?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Let's ask Raymond. It's a Rahman. Let's ask him, shall we? He'll know.
Well, it's a Crown City, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that, a Crown City?
Or the Queen mean? City. The Queen City.
Mm. So there's a royal connection there with Charlotte? Queen Charlotte? Princess Charlotte. Ace Rahman joins us. He'll know.
Don't ask me. No.
Make something up. Why is it called the Crown Legacy? The Charlotte division, what's it called? MLS Next? MLS Pro?
Yeah.
Why is it MLS called that? Make something up. Why is it called the Crown Legacy, Asa?
Obviously because of the region and what it means to the royal family. Charlotte has a rich history and connection to the royal family.
Sorry, that's pretty good.
6:30.
Obviously. Leave me
alone. He's literally just woken up.
Good.
Thanks, mate, for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it. Up against New York City FC this weekend, other Whitecaps. But there's a dark cloud hovering over Vancouver World this week with the news that Ralph Prezzo is out for 8 to 10 weeks with that hammy he suffered on international duty. That's a gut punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one hurts. I did find the 8 to 10 weeks and the wording of that really interesting as well. They said a full recovery after 8 to 10 weeks, and that kind of lines up with where Canada is. I think that this is, if I'm Ralph, that's where my head's at right now. Like doing whatever I can to be available for my country ahead of a World Cup at home. So I think that's the priority right now. I mean, the decision's ultimately up to Jesse Marsh and the staff, but the Whitecaps impacted by this, obviously, and affected by it. But I think right now for Ralph, it's a speedy and full recovery on his mind and trying to be available for Canada should that call come. And from what we saw, I thought he looked great. Limited action again, but it just kind of validated what we've been seeing and saying since he's taken that role with the Vancouver Whitecaps as a center back. And it was awesome to see him kind of have those recovery runs, which is unfortunately where he got injured, but that's what he's done. And I think I've said it on this show, said it on other shows as well. He had a moment last year against Denny Bwanga, who runs past everyone, where he made it uncomfortable for Denny on what would have been a breakaway for LAFC, and he tracked him down, just couldn't put enough pressure on him and forced a soft shot from Denny. So, you know, that was the first time I kind of saw it. I was like, this guy's way faster than we're realizing, you know, for him to track down a player like that. And then we've seen it week after week. So just, yeah, such a gut punch, devastating for him. And and his goals, because I think that he gives them something different as well with the national team, similar to what he's shown here with the Vancouver Whitecaps. I mean, we've talked about this as well. He's a center back, or he's a midfielder playing center back. The way he sees the field is different from so many other people. One thing that, you know, we saw the recovery runs. So those are great. We didn't see enough of the penetrating passes, these line breaking passes that we see on a regular basis with the Vancouver Whitecaps. And I think that's valuable as well. Going into a tournament where, you know, some of the games you might feel like you have a lot of possession, and you're finding ways to break through and break the other team down. He does that for the Vancouver Whitecaps. When other teams hit in a low block or they're trying to hit on a quick counter, he's able to kind of hit that pass that, that you know, sends AZ or one of the other forwards going. And I think that that's huge for the Caps and would be huge for Canada as well.
Asa, if he's healthy, do you think all of those aforementioned qualities do enough to put him ahead of a Joel Waterman who's much more experienced at the back than he is?
Yeah, I think that comes down to coach preference, right? And you guys will know this better than anyone. And one, I think that coaches have their guys that they know, they trust, and there's a reason why they go with people that they do. So I would, just based off of what I've seen from him, I take him for the reasons that we've listed. And I think I would have seen enough as well to know that if he's fully fit, he's good to go, and I know what I'm getting from him. I don't know if I necessarily would need to see him play with the Vancouver Whitecaps, which is, again, why I feel like we're getting this 8 to 10 week timeline as opposed to something like 6, I think, when maybe he's close to ready. But with a hamstring, I think you want to give it the extra few weeks to just make sure it's like, yeah, you know, you don't want to risk anything. I think if he were to, you know, have a setback, he would want it to be with that Canada crest on his chest. If that makes sense, you know, like, I don't think he wants to have anything, you know, hinder the chances of going to this World Cup with Canada. So he's taking that extra time to make sure that he is as fit as possible and available for Canada at this World Cup.
Yeah. How does it affect the Vancouver Whitecaps, Asa, over the next couple months?
Yeah, it impacts him for sure. I think he's kind of shown that he could be the starter. I know that last year they had Ronco and Tristan Blackman as the two, and Ronco's getting healthy. So that is, you know, such a blessing for this team to have Ronco available as Ralph gets injured here. And Ronco should be available by the end of this month to get some minutes with the Vancouver Whitecaps. So that's good. But he plays it a little bit differently, and I think it does, you know, kind of change maybe a little bit in the way that that they play. Maybe not necessarily what they mean to do, but how it's executed potentially. Right now, it looks like Laborda is kind of slotted in. He's been huge for this team as well because he's slotted in absolutely everywhere that they've needed him, left back, right back, center back, anywhere across the back four. So he'll assume that position. But then Sebastian Schindlau, people were excited to see him potentially get some minutes because we haven't seen a whole lot of him. And he unfortunately picked up an injury as well this past week. So unavailable, presumably, you know, for the next little while. So, yeah, they're going to miss Parisseau. But this team has also shown that they are resilient, and it just means an opportunity for somebody else. And I noticed at training this week on Wednesday, Mikhail Gerasimenkov, we saw a little bit of him as a left back. He was actually slotted into that left center back spot for a scrimmage that they were doing on Wednesday. So, you know, maybe we see him at some point picking up some minutes there as well. And I don't know how much this coaching staff enjoys moving players around or coaching players into different positions, but it's worked so far. We talked about Ralph Parisseau, Jeevan Badwell as well, who's traditionally a 6 or an 8, has been playing further up the park, and that's worked well for him. So whatever this coaching staff is doing, whatever the team's doing, seems to be working because they're getting a lot out of players that are seemingly playing out of position.
What do you think of Caicedo?
Awesome.
He's going to be exciting. He is rapid.
Yeah. And when we're calling the match, we're commentating, I'm kind of working through these storylines in my head. One of the things, as the Whitecaps are trailing into that second half, down 2-1, I'm thinking, you know, they've been in this situation a couple weeks ago with San Jose. The storyline right now is whether or not they can break down that low block and kind of turn this tie. And then Caicedo comes in and The further along we get into the match, the more I'm thinking, if this doesn't happen, or if they just get the tie, at least I think the positive from this game, the key takeaway, is that Bruno's a player. Like, he changed that game once he came into it, and that is the exciting thing. So we're not talking about it as much right now because of the result, because of the heroics late in that game against Portland. But if not for that, I think Bruno's getting all the headlines right now and all the attention because, it was edgier seat stuff. It kind of, I think, reminded fans as well of what we saw last year and the last few years with Ali Ahmed and the way he doesn't hesitate to take people on. And then he's got the pace to burn you as well. So a really exciting player. And it feels like, the Whitecaps just keep finding these guys. He looks like another one.
Well, he came through the Barcelona system, right? Not the Barcelona, but the Barcelona. Right. So we'll take that. But a great signing in January, I think it was, he arrived. So again, that club doing the right things and young players, developing young players. One player that developed, and we saw again last week, and we keep talking about, is this the best midfield in MLS right now? But what Berhalter did late last match, we were talking about it, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. We love those goals where the midfielder breaks up the play with a crunching tackle and then, belts up the pitch and then we'll finish the move and the counter. What a goal that was. What a finish that was. Was that the highlight of the season so far, albeit in an early season?
Yeah, I think so. Just with the way it all happened, 20 biggest crowd as well at BC Play so far this year, 25,500 essentially.
Your sandwich board is working.
It is, yeah.
Bring out the dead.
Back the place.
Massive returns. Returns on this. And then to have that moment, trailing into stoppage time, you get the tying goal, then you get the winner, and you have him making the key play at one end of the pitch and then finishing it off. And then the composure, it was so cool because I think you see players in those moments. As I'm watching it, it felt like it was Sabi's moment, the way he lined it up. And I thought that he was going to cut inside the guy and curl it top corner. It's kind of what it felt. And then it just sets up, tees up for Berhalter. But then still in that moment, to be able to actually put that away, it's a fair distance, to hit that first time and not get under it, not sky it, and then not be too passive and pass it in. To actually pick a corner and put it away was remarkable, especially as you mentioned, he makes this, 90 plus, he makes this incredible tackle to get up the park and then somehow sell yourself to finish it was incredible. It speaks to how prepared he is going into games and how fit he is as well. It was awesome.
Asa, you did there's lots going on the pitch, but off the pitch, you did a story that was getting passed around on a petition that's been going around. Why don't you tell us about what's going on off the field to support the Whitecaps and how that's pulling the community together, but if it's making any waves or what you think. The little editorializing I think we need from you, too, because you're there.
Yeah, David Osted started this late March. So it's still a pretty fresh campaign that he's gotten going here. Save the Whitecaps petition that you can sign up for everyone to sign. At first, when I first saw this, I was wondering, what are we expecting here? What do we want? And then he was on the Global Morning Show speaking with Jason Pires and talking about how he wants to get the stakeholders together. And that's the part that kind of caught my attention. And I understand as well, because I think for as long as we've been through this, the Whitecaps been on sale for on sale for the last year and a half, essentially, and trying to come up with solutions, figure out what that looks like. And every time we kind of take a step forward, wondering, it's not enough, whatever it is, a better deal with Pavco, better situation here, trying to get the new stadium. And it feels like, this will take time. So what is the solution? It leaves everybody scratching their heads. And when David Osted kind of mentioned that, we need to talk. And that's the big thing for him, is the fact that he doesn't like the silence because he doesn't feel like that's a good thing. He fears the worst news would come on the other end of it. So rather have people talking and bring people to the table. And I thought that was yeah, really good to hear, and encouraging as well to see someone who's meant so much to the club and the city, this club's meant so much to him, to take this stance, try to do something. And it's, yeah, the response has been positive, and he wants obviously more people to sign up for this, because once he has enough signatures, gets people to the table, then he's bringing together government, Whitecaps, MLS as well. I think everyone has a responsibility and a part to play in this. Canada Soccer is one that we brought up in that conversation as well, because this team has meant so much to so many people. We're seeing the impact now that it has on the national team. So many players came through the system or got their second chance with the system. And what it's done for, yeah, the men's national team, on the women's side as well. I know that the Rise not affected by this, but still affected to some degree because of the close connection here. So really important to get that message out that this is a real issue. There is the threat of the Whitecaps leaving in a year or however long it might be. So I think that he wants to make sure that that message is out there, and that people, yeah, in the lower mainland in BC, but across the country, around the world, because now we're seeing a lot of interest in the Caps in Germany, at Norwich as well. You know, people connected to this club, and it feels like it's as popular as ever. So just be, yeah, heartbreaking to see them leave at this height right now.
We're seeing here in Toronto, obviously, BMO Field's being revamped for the World Cup, and it's, I think, going to look fantastic. BC Place obviously is a step or two ahead of BMO Field as far as, you know, being able to house big events. Do you see much evidence of the World Cup there right now and what's happening?
Yeah, seeing a little bit more buzz. I'm finding all of this interesting as well. Like the BMO getting these, poor grades or poor reception as far as like how it is for the World Cup. I think it's a great stadium. I think it shows well. And the surface is excellent. And I think that's the interesting thing. Like, Whitecaps don't have that surface at the moment. The synthetic turf, a lot of people don't like it. I've mentioned this as well, because it's a hybrid surface at BMO. And I understand for the World Cup, everyone's getting the same surface. So that's what, I guess, kind of makes BC Place better than BMO in a lot of people's eyes. But, you know, if you get that hybrid surface a BC Place, yeah, I think it's a great stadium, and we're seeing on a weekly basis as well, with 22,000 plus in attendance for these Whitecaps games, how great it can be, and it can push up to 50,000 as well. And we saw that. Forrest and I watched Lionel Messi play in front of 50,000 at BC Place, and it is awesome. As far as the buzz goes, I think we're starting to sense a little bit some excitement leading up to this, up to these games. Talk about the tickets, I think, makes it well for people. Sorry, go ahead, Charms.
But is there any physical changes you're seeing to the stadium right now?
Yes. So that's been going on for the past, year, I guess. Towards the end of the season in the commentary booth, we've seen a lot of changes, a lot of construction, and it's still there. Still got the drywall up. One of these days, I feel like someone's going to hand me a hammer. They don't want to see that though. But there's a lot of work still being done there. There's a new VIP lounge area that is open now. That looks pretty cool. So that's one of the main physical changes that we're seeing. Scoreboard updated. And there's a lot of stuff that I guess isn't, it's like, plumbing fixes and stuff like in your house. It's not like it's aesthetic, and it is what it is. Great adding urinals, elevators, things like that. Yeah, exactly.
I'll wait to use the urinals there. I'm looking forward to that.
I think it's even, yeah, it's like elevators, which is big. The fact that
huge. BMO Field's got a big issue there, by the way.
Is it okay? Yeah. So people that have to deal with this, it's like it's massive. So adding elevators to the people that are there on a regular basis is a big one.
They put in an extra elevator a couple of years ago now, BMO, which really helps if you know where it is. But there's the main one that I can just picture these curmudgeonly European football journalists having to wait for that elevator.
Yeah.
And getting it, and then it'll stop at every floor for all the food coming in, food carts, and then the boxes. They're gonna be just not happy at all, unless they fix it by then.
Yeah, and I don't know. Have you experienced it where you've been there, and you have the super celebrity come in,
like Craig, right?
Yeah, exactly. Craig Forrest, David Beckham, Ryan Reynolds. And they'll shut down the elevator.
I know.
For a period of time. So there's only so many. So everyone's just like hanging out or having to do the long walk.
They've actually, this construction at BMO, it's not finished yet, but they're going to have an area like where we usually go in to BMO Field. It's going to be kind of shut off, I believe, during the World Cup. So all the VVIPs, including Infantino, if he's going to be there, which I'm assuming will be, they can shuffle him away or shuffle him in away from the baying masses while we all wait, or scumbags wait. By the way, when is the turf going in?
Good question. They are out of there at the end of the month, and then FIFA takes over. I forget the official date now. And then they have complete access. So May, I guess, like next month, they start moving the stuff in and the Whitecaps are away from it.
Does anyone know, I know nothing about turf or grass. Does anyone know if you need to like bet it in, like some games on it before? I mean, you don't want the first match being at a World Cup, presumably. Yeah. It's the kind of thing that I think Craig might know about. Do you know anything about this, Craig? For some reason, that's something that I think's in your spectrum.
What, they're going to play some warm-up games beforehand?
Do you need to?
Like break it in a little bit? Is that
what you break mean? It in. Yeah. Yeah,
I think with the modern technology, that's unnecessary.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like
monuments.
Sharms, when you put in tile in your house or you put in hardwood, you have to put it in to get the same temperature, acclimatize like hardwood, right, Jimmy?
Yeah,
and so you have to bring it in for. Wood?
That's good to know.
Pardon me?
Sharms doesn't know about hardwood.
Oh, yeah. So wobbly wood for you?
No, Sharms is used to laminate.
He plays beautifully, actually. No, but we've seen matches with new turf or tournaments where all these, you know, it doesn't look good at all. It pops up, you know, and the seams are there. I've seen it numerous times at the Skydon.
Well, like we saw at Copa America, remember?
Yeah, that's when the roots haven't settled, though.
Yeah, I think that's why they have this huge window where they're putting it in early enough so that it does settle. And to my understanding, no one's allowed on it. Like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to look at it.
Trick your eyes.
What is that? Exactly. I've been yelled at by so many groundskeepers over the years because I put a toe over the line.
Yeah.
They just spent 90 minutes, guys, running around with cleats, and I can't put a toe of a freaking dress shoe over the line.
Not even on the pitch, right? Like on the outside.
Yeah, it's bullshit. That's where you throw your challenge card.
Yeah.
Wait, you just have one lying around just off screen there? Show that again.
No, it's not.
Is that like when you okay, you had your mic and you held up the stapler?
Yeah, we'll have to revisit Jimmy's to-do list later on.
Yeah.
Because it is, I mean, groundskeepers, there was that great, TFC had a great groundskeeping crew who had a social feed. I'm not sure if it's still there. Hmm. It was actually really good. Groundskeepers have a little bit of arrogance about them. They really think they own the freaking world and run the show.
That's it's their baby.
Experience.
Yeah.
It is, I know.
And you know there's competitions, right?
Yeah. For
best ground crew. So they're competitive. Yeah. They want to be the best.
Grass grows by the inch and dies by the foot.
Oh.
See, Craig does know some things about turf.
He does know some right in his little house.
No, he does. Who's the reigning MLS groundskeeping crew of the year?
Groundskeeper Willie.
Obviously.
Go, Aberdeen!
Let's look it up. I'm actually, for some reason, I don't know why, but I'm interested in this. Someone keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
They're all so good now with that. Those hybrids, they hold up really well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Man, it's brilliant. Changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
There was one thing I wanted to talk about, and it was FIFA-oriented, and I don't know who's organizing it, but it's that cross-Canada tour. JC ended up going for Footy Prime on, I think it was Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. And Asa, I put up, our social media manager put up the link, and hey, and then you started saying, hey, there's certain places that aren't going to be represented. And then I went through it. I was like, Ottawa, not there. Like you already said, they're not even showing up in Manitoba.
Yeah.
And this, somebody, is this a pre-Confederation?
There's also a trophy tour, though.
Yes, you're right, Dubs. There is also a trophy tour. I don't know what goes on in the decision making. I found the messaging interesting. Like, it just highlighted maybe the places that were omitted when you had the East and West, and you threw four Ontario cities into the West. Like, I don't know if you needed to go East and West, and maybe people don't notice, but it just emphasized and highlighted the fact that, yeah, it kind of skips over Manitoba and Saskatchewan. And yeah, I don't know what goes into this and why this, why they picked the cities that they did, but you know, they picked some smaller cities, which is great in BC and Ontario. And I think that's awesome. So yeah, maybe you could have hit up Brandon as well. In Manitoba, you know, maybe you could have hit up some of these other markets.
Were they swapping cities?
Yeah, that's right.
Like keys to the city in a bowl.
No, he was talking that's jersey
word,
swap.
That's the word at the moment everybody hates.
Swap. Right. You can't say swap.
Buzzword, yeah.
Yeah.
I found the most recent award I found was in 2015, TFC BMO Fields. Robert Heggie was the Sports Turf Manager of the Year. But I can't find anything more recent than that.
He kept the trophy. And they could never get it out again.
Was never awarded after that.
No, exactly. Right. But it is. I mean, TFC have done a great job over the years with the conditions in Toronto, especially in the spring. It's amazing, actually, how good that turf looks.
It's true.
I was going to shout out CF Montreal and their groundskeeping crew as well. It's top notch.
What about the Whitecaps crew? They go and they water that thing every once in a while. No.
Keeps it smelling like armpit.
Does it smell like armpit?
I think it does. Yes. Right. And I was also going to say that, you know, all this talk about putting in extra elevators and sort of crippling the press corps, there's also a ramp that I used last year at the inaugural match for NSL, and they timed me and I made it up there in pretty good time.
Oh, I remember that. Yep. That's impressive.
Pitch side up to the booth.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be honest, Dubs. You timed yourself. You were the one timing yourself. You then challenged everybody and said, this is Dubs in her own head, right?
Yes.
And then Dubs won.
That you don't have any challenges and you're not, you know, non-ambulatory. Obviously, you need elevators so it's accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. But if your legs work, there's a ramp.
I was doing Women's Rugby World Cup in 2000 and what year is that? Like 11 or something. In Edmonton, and I was doing color, but I was also doing a bit of sideline. And to start the broadcast, I was on the sidelines, you know, blah 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 blah. And then I had to run up in time for kickoff, and I had like 45, was it under a minute? I had to like literally run up there to get there in time. And by the time I got up there, I was so out of breath.
How did you handle that first bit?
It was difficult. I was just dying. I got up there in time.
Let the ambiance take it for the first 5 minutes.
There's nothing worse, though, right? Like an athlete that you're interviewing pitch side, they're allowed to be out of breath, right? And there's that famous Pierre Maguire, Phil Kessel one. Remember? And he's like, how's your breath? And he's like, is it bad? And he's like, no, man, like your lungs, how you doing? But like, so athletes in that context are allowed to be, and it kind of fits the bill in a way. But when you're the sideline reporter or you're somebody else, you're taking a phone call and they're like, what's going on with you? Like, why are you so out of breath? Like, that doesn't work.
Was it Nations League or Gold Cup last time? I was in the stadium, walking up the stairs, just for some reason, I don't know why, just to grab a seat. And I did a radio interview and I could barely talk. I was out of breath. At the same time, security guy comes out, so he's yelling at me to move. And I'm trying to do this radio interview. And
I try to keep your composure.
And then get over here, you can't be here. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, but I had to own it on the radio. They found it very funny. I could barely get a word out. So out of breath.
It's different when you have to talk though, right? Like I feel like I could, jog or run or whatever. And then you're catching your breath and you're okay. But if you have to talk in that moment, you're like, I can't do these things at the same time. Yeah.
Before we move on to something else, Sharms, I wanted to ask Asa, because you asked him about like a buzz around BC Place. There's this, you know, all the construction and improvements ahead of the World Cup. Do you notice, Asa, that within that Whitecaps contingent, the fans, the people who are always there, that you see the banter and the conversations that you have, is there an overlap? Is there a Venn diagram of people who are going to have access to these World Cup games that are keen to go, that aren't priced out, or is it very compartmentalized?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty compartmentalized. Well, I don't even know that many people who got World Cup tickets or have World, you know, so I feel like locally, regionally, there aren't many. And yeah, that's unfortunate, because I do think that those Whitecaps fans are excited for the World Cup. But there is a sense of them being kind of priced out here.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, because I went to the World Cup World Cup 94 as a 12-year-old, and I remember it. And, you know, my parents were able to afford it, and we're not wealthy by any means. And, you know, my dad and his brother got tickets to go see games in California and watched Roger Mila and, you know, it was awesome. Watch Brazil for a game, and you know, moments that inspired me as a young kid. And there's so many kids I feel like, you know, won't get that opportunity here, and it's right here in our backyard, and that's unfortunate.
What's cool there is that you mentioned Brazil. You saw Brazil play at the World Cup, but yet the first
that was awesome. But
the first name that came to mind for you was Roger Mila.
Yeah, Roger Miller was, because he was this guy that was, I don't know, doing, and he would dance at the corner flag. Like, mm-hmm. For me as a kid, I was like, this guy is awesome. But in that game, it was Oleg Salenko who scored 6 goals against Cameroon with Russia. And he, I remember, I didn't know anything about this guy. I don't know if anybody did, but it would keep coming up on the PA basically. And I'm like, Dad, this guy's pretty good. Like, he scored again, and he ended up scoring 6 goals in that game. It was unreal.
I don't remember that at all for some reason. It's totally out of my mind.
I'm just picturing a 12-year-old cute little Asa Raven. Dad, this guy's pretty good.
Little squeaky voice.
He scored again.
Yeah.
He scored again.
Yeah. He scored again. It was, I don't know. And my dad's like, I don't know who this guy is either. And I was like, okay, we'll look him up after. Yeah, I think it's still a record, 6 goals in a game.
There's more ticket controversy I read today.
Oh, God.
FIFA originally had, you know, sold these tier 1 tickets, extremely expensive, and then you had to wait for your seats. And then when they finally got their seats, they're like in the corner and they're further up. And now there's another tier being sold to be even close to the field.
I was wondering
about taking the piss.
I was wondering about this too, because I tried to get these. The final sale, like last release tickets that came out April 1st. I didn't wait long enough in the morning. And then at night before going to bed, I thought, okay, let me check this out again. So like went back on, opened it up. There's maybe a dozen games that were available. And then just the one in Canada, which is the game at Toronto against Bosnia. Okay, let's see how much these are. Open it up and no wait, but $3,000 for these category 1 tickets for this game. And I'm wondering where these are. Like, this has got to be like right behind that bench, I guess, if it's 3. I get it, you know. And then it's Upper Bowl. And then I'm wondering, how is Upper Bowl category 1? Mm-hmm. And then my mind started turning. I was like, so then who are the – like, what are the tickets that are Lower Bowl? Like, what is – in my eyes, there's only category 1. Like, what – you got to differentiate this category 1 Upper Bowl from this guy that's sitting, you know, halfway mm-hmm. – So I don't know what's going on, but it's got to be frustrating for fans because you just can't make sense of it.
I think they're based on English football, and there's the Premier category, and then there's the League Championship category, and then there's Category 1.
Yeah. And then there are $1 billion Premier League. It's almost a grand bait and switch.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's laying the groundwork for this immense class action lawsuit versus FIFA.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think, though, when these games kick off, are we going to be seeing empty seats?
You know what? That's I don't know. That's the like weird, annoying, frustrating thing about all this. Because I thought about that as well. Like, you know, they might end up doing it. Creating the championship and premier tiers, selling it, like making the money. And then once the games kick off, it looks full. The other thing is you'll have all the important special people that you'll like move into these spots maybe as well if it's enough of a draw. And then people start scoring goals and you have your Oleg Salenkos and stuff like, and then you just start talking about everything else. And that's kind of the worry for me as well. It's like, oh, it's
you worry that the on play, the pitch on play is really good. That
it's going to be great that we kind of forget the fact that, locals kind of got hosed on this one.
Well, if you think, your family of five, that's $15,000 to go watch 90 minutes of football. And that's, you haven't even bought a beer yet. Yeah. God knows how much that's going to be.
Yeah, well, arrived at the stadium yet.
The first time I kind of experienced this like marketing strategy of ticket sales was with the Taylor Swift tour that came to Vancouver. And the buzz leading up to it was huge. So you're a couple weeks out and the thing sold out. Then miraculously, there's like tickets available. So then people are like jumping on and talking about how they got these tickets that were made available like 2 weeks out and they got these tickets. Then 2 days later, there's going to be a magical release of like this many tickets. So make sure you log on. People log on, they get it. Then the weekend comes, the weekend before she's in town. You've already like released these and there's magically another 1,000 tickets. And we were in that. So wife and kids, like everyone's hovered around the computer. You log in, you're like, there's 15,000 people ahead of you, but you're like, oh, we'll just leave it on. Then there's 1,000 people ahead of you. Then there's 500. You're doing this for like an hour or a couple hours. And all of a sudden you're there and it's $600 a ticket. And you're like, we've been trying so hard. We couldn't get it. Let's do this. And then you like get to the checkout and it says $2,500 with all the fees. And you're like, I look at my wife. I'm like, what are we doing? Like we don't have this money. But here we are convincing ourselves that we can do this. And I think that it plays on the emotions. The hype train is real. And I feel like this is going to happen with this thing as well. Like people are going to get swept up and convince themselves to like pay whatever it is closer to the date.
Said release like two times. If you said it a third time, it was like Beetlejuice for me. It was going to
happen. Yeah. But I think it's intentional, right? Like, and that's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got all these lower bowl seats. I don't know if they're sold, but these games are sold out.
But every...
Closer to the date, all of a sudden, there's going to be... Yeah.
People forget this. Every World Cup, though, there are empty seats at numerous games. They don't sell out every stadium. And, I mean, will this be a case of, you know, if a lower bowl hasn't sold well, do they start shuffling the upper bowl down?
Yeah, maybe.
For TV to make it look... Who cares in the stadium at the time? Does it look good on TV?
Mm. Yeah. Craig and I were walking. We went to the Raptors game last night, which was fantastic. Thanks, Craig. But we were talking about all of a sudden there'll be, you know, if you're a major sponsor, you'll have all the Coca-Cola people there. You'll have all of the, you know, this is how they fill things up, right? All Coinbase. All of these giant companies who are sponsoring the World Cup will have an increased level of ticket accessibility because they will not want empty seats. And it'll be
fans too, right?
They will. They will. Well, plant
it's the Larissa Requelme scenario, which I think I've talked about before, the Paraguayan fan. In 2010, I think it was. She was.
Oh, they would just keep giving her tickets?
Girl, model, and every match she was at, Paraguay in particular, but she went viral. Look it up. You won't regret it.
They get a shot for that most of the time, though.
Yeah, she didn't just get a single ticket, though. She got a set.
She certainly did. And I would have paid Premier League prices for that set.
Maybe she did.
She may have done, actually. Hey, JC, find Larissa, recall me. Anyway, Issa, thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Go either back to bed or go for your morning run or third coffee or take dog for a walk. Do what you want, really. Get the kids
appreciate
up.
It. Thanks so nice much. Early. Have a good one.
It was great having you, brother.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, hey, Issa.
You know what? We've got a little return segment starting today. And we're very excited about it, aren't we, Wonga? Oh, that's Larissa.
Return segments.
Larissa Requelme is incredibly popular for some reason. That's the headline. She was everywhere. Anyway, you know, yeah, we've got a new segment, a returning segment, I should say. Mm-hmm. Shall we just start it up straight away, Wonga?
Yeah.
I remember it. Ready? What's up? Hey. DJ
Melody. Sorry, Zach. It's 40 picks. It's 40
picks. On Footy Prime. Footy Picks is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Nice. We can work on that, but pretty good.
Yeah, pretty not good. Bad. Not bad. Yeah. I like that.
Craig was going to tell a story, so he'll do Footy Picks, then tell the story.
Okay.
Oh, I seen that Paraguayan woman there. I remember the Vic Router, TSN, is just retired and did a lot of work with him over the years. And I remember he's very quick off the, you know, just off the cuff. And it was actually Nigeria was playing, and it was a similar pitcher. And then, so they go to break, and they're Nigeria were 2-0 up. And he said, Nigeria up by a pair.
Well done.
Yeah, not bad. It is a legend.
Yeah,
not bad.
Alex Bunbury. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a new type of footy picks because the best gambler, the best punter on the team, other than Sharms and his AI, is Craig Forrest. So, Craig, what's your pick for this weekend? And using the BetMGM make it legendary odds.
Yeah, well, it's a Sunday Premier League game. Sunderland is at home to Tottenham. Zerbe now taking over Spurs. I like the under there of 2.5, primarily because I think that they're going to sort themselves out defensively, and every point's a prisoner for Spurs at the moment. Sunderland don't score a lot of goals, pretty good defensively, but I think there'll be a shift there from Spurs where they're going to try to play not to lose, make sure they get something at Sunderland. So the under there at 2.5, I really like that one for this weekend.
I like that. The new manager bounce too for Spurs a little bit. And if they do concede goals,
they got to sort themselves out defensively. They be getting crushed, but they're on a slippery slope, Spurs, at the moment. And a draw. I think a draw would be a good bet there too.
What was the odds?
Sharms, you were going to say something. Did you have something, a parlay that you were talking about?
I've got a parlay, yeah. Yeah, but just what do you know, what were the odds for the under? What's that paying out?
It's not great. It's like 182 or something like that.
Okay. I've got a three-leg parlay.
Oh.
I got Man City, money line, over Palace. I got Real Madrid to beat Real Sociedad and Inter Milan to beat Torino. So three big favorites in that, and that pays around plus 400. Give or take.
All right.
Which is pretty juicy. Three good.
Yeah, that's not a bad parlay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've got the bug. Someone's got the bug over there.
Yeah. I've done well this week with parlays, though. I have to say, thanks to my good friend, AI.
Alvin.
I've given up trying to do it myself. Alvin Iverson. Or Alan Iverson.
There you go.
Or that, yeah.
Dubs, I thought you would like.
Intimating. I had stuff to say earlier. No, I don't. I'm not going to bring it up now. But I forgot to bring up with Asa Rahman, one of our favorite contributors here on Footy Prime. He's a big Habs fan, and it was a big night for the Habs last night as Cole Caulfield scored 50 goals. So I wanted to talk to Asa about that. Huge, he was pretty pumped. Yeah, it's massive. It's great for the city.
First 50 goal scorer since who was it?
Stéphane Richer, right, 36 years ago.
Steve Richard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also shout out to Dr. Jai, big Habs fan as well.
Mm-hmm. Good for them. I'm so happy for the Habs. It's great. Habs.
We're so good. It's so fun.
See the Leafs last night? So they get this rookie gets called up because Anthony Stolarz cannot stay healthy. His first start, right? Now, as ex-professional footballers, you know, if you had a rookie playing his first game, you're going to try hard, right? You're going to try for the kid, right?
Try to protect them a little bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? Yeah. This bunch of losers, 44 shots on goal they gave up. Mm. And was smashed. 44. Where is the pride?
What about when he was coming off too, and he was giving the guys like fist pumps? Like, well done, right? Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Guys, appreciate
thanks for
it.
Nothing.
Oh. Anyway, it's not a hockey podcast. I wish it was. Got to have some things to say.
No, you'd be miserable.
Well, miserable anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's the facade, but deep down, you're not so miserable.
Did you watch the PSG game this week? Liverpool?
Yeah. Speaking of being feeling miserable. Yes. And also, Robbo.
Oh.
That guy's crushed yesterday at that announcement that he's leaving the club at the end of the season.
I actually find that more sad than Mo leaving.
I know. I do too.
You know, it's such a big personality.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious guy.
Yeah.
So funny.
Mm-hmm.
And came over under, like, no one expected anything from Andy Robertson when he arrived. I think, was it Hull? I think he came from, right? Wasn't it?
Yep. Hull City, yeah.
Yeah. And he became arguably, it's tough to say this, but one of the best left backs the club's ever seen.
Yep.
Won it all.
Yeah.
And now he's saying farewell too on his terms. I feel bad for Mo as well, having the guy on these terms, the way the team is playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God. Anyway, that's Footy Prime for another week, in fact. Hope you enjoyed
that. It was a good
week
of shows, eh?
It was
good.
Yeah, very good.
You seem so surprised.
No. It's when we get to see each other, it does change the enthusiasm and the energy, right? It's just a little easy, always a little easier when we get together. And we have to treat it as special. That's all.
How many beers do you guys stay for? I couldn't. I wish I could.
I didn't.
Grabbed a cheeky pint with JC.
Okay.
It was just me and Dubs. Yeah. Only me and
just
Dubs.
Just us two.
Just us two. No one else.
No one else.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll imbibe later this summer.
Yes, we will. We'll make up for it, certainly. But I wanted to say, Jimmy, I'm sure you're covering games this weekend for CPL. Are you?
Yes.
Tell us which ones.
Let me have a look, please.
Okay. While you're having a look, I will promote myself.
Yes.
So Women's National Team, it was announced that this FIFA series is going to be carried on OneSoccer, but also on TSN. So that's cool. So 3 p.m. kickoff versus Zambia tomorrow. I will be in studio with Jordan and Kate McKenna, who's hosting this one, my good buddy from NSL coverage on TSN. And then I think Tuesday is against South Korea, also a 3 p.m. kickoff. And then it's a late kickoff to end that series versus Brazil in Brazil. So this is a familiar opponent for a women's national team, but it's going to have a different vibe, different atmosphere, different energy to it, playing the host to end it. And that's the late kickoff at 9:30. But all of it you can find on OneSoccer and TSN.
And they're coming up a much more optimistic window last time out. So this is actually quite a big one for...
Can build on it. Mm-hmm. And Khadisha Buchanan is back. Another thing I wanted to bring up with Asa, but we ran out of time because he's a big Chelsea guy and she's come back after being gone for a long time. She's a key piece for both her club success and Canada's success, but it's going to be good to have her around. And she's played big minutes with Chelsea and won a League Cup and got them to the semifinals of the FA Cup, even though they got bounced from the Women's Champions League. So she's already come back and played a significant role. So hopefully she can do the same for the Women's National Team.
Jimbo, your itinerary this weekend?
I am covering Vancouver and Forge Sunday, 7 p.m. Good game. Inter Toronto plays Halifax at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Pacific plays Supra, making their debut in the Canadian League.
Nice. And also, Sharm's got a really cool Instagram. So if you follow Footy IG on Instagram, Footy Prime IG, it'd be great because, that was Caligari a real with goal. that free kick goal. Yeah.
Unreal hit.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. And I wanted to say
more and more.
Stop cutting promos where I swear in every single one of them. I feel like I've cut down on my swearing. And then the last two is like, oh my God, why don't you cool it?
I don't know. You swear really well though.
Oh, thank you.
You don't waste an F-bomb.
No.
Right.
They're there for a reason. It's important.
You're swearing.
Fuck yeah. But also, speaking of Inter Toronto, there's a big thing for Footy Prime in Inter Toronto. Tomorrow at the game, the debut of Footy Prime and One Ball Spirits from Nickel 9 Distillery are red card and yellow card RTD cocktails in cans will be debuting tomorrow at the Inter Toronto versus Halifax game. There's going to be 10 cases of each. It's just a little sort of taster to get people pumped up. But get there and buy as many as you can. they're delicious.
Mm-hmm. And they are.
You'll be seeing loads of those going forward, leading into the World Cup and beyond. And there'll be three different flavors, but red card and yellow card. So ask for your RTDs from Nickel 9 and Footy Prime. One bar.
They are delicious.
Get both delicious, Footy Prime.
Refreshes. And let everyone, your local bar, your local pub.
No, yes.
I tried these drinks. They're really good.
Yeah. And they pack a punch, let me tell you.
Yes. Dubs knows.
And a little pathetic throw up after having too many of those pasters.
And if you are at the game tomorrow, make sure you take pictures with your cans. Sorry.
Like those are crummy.
And post them.
Hit us on the back end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, everyone. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Thank you so much, everyone. Until next week, cheers for listening. Bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
JC, do me a favor. We might have to cut out. I don't want that to go.
Oh, all right.
Oh.
Oh.